It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, 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 everyone out there in Radio Land. I'm George Williams, your host, and this is the George Williams Show, folks. We're so glad to be back behind the mic. Our number here is 251-343-0106. That's 251-343-0106. Now, folks, if you have someone outside our listening area and they want to tune in over the internet, they can do that. And that is at fmtalk1065.com. That's fmtalk, T-A-L-K, 1065.com. All right, folks, remember, our show is also being podcast, and you can hear that, I think, tomorrow, right, Philip?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, you go on fmtalk1065.com, and you pull up our app, and you'll be able to go into podcasts, and then the date, which is today, under my name, and you can hear what we have said, not only tonight, you can hear it tomorrow, but all previous shows go back a couple of years. Okay, so we are around, folks. All right, now what are we going to be talking about tonight? And folks, very sad to hear about Charlie Kirk, him being assassinated. And folks, I met him at the convention in Milwaukee, and I had a pretty good conversation with him. Very intelligent person. It's a shame, and you know, he's got a wife and two children, young children, and that happened, folks. So we have to be very careful, because I personally think that all of this is about Republicans versus Democrats, okay? And to me, Democrats are very dangerous, very, very dangerous, even in some of our town halls in Baldwin County over there. A group of folks, when Congressman Moore was talking, a group of folks got up and started screaming, et cetera, et cetera. They weren't Republicans. They did not want him to say a word. And if that happened in Baldwin County, folks, that can happen in any place, because Baldwin County is a Republican county, probably 90%, okay, Republican county. So we have to be careful. We have to be very, very, very careful. And we've been talking about that. I was at a state steering committee meeting in Birmingham on Sunday. Excuse me. On Sunday, folks. And that's what they were talking about, security for our folks. That's very important. So we have to be very careful. Very, very, very careful. And we are going to be very careful. So these are what's happening, you know, after the assassination of Charlie. And, excuse me, and we have to be careful. Excuse me. Probably a Democrat put something in my water. I don't know about that, but I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Okay. Now, folks, the election today, the polls are closed. They've been closed for 10 minutes now. And we have to see. We had several runoffs in the state. Okay. Several runoffs for mayors, especially mayors. Mobile is very important. And why do I say it's important? Because the Democrats, they want Mobile. They have Birmingham, and they also have Montgomery. They want Huntsville, and they want Mobile. We can't allow that, folks. So hopefully the voters in Mobile got out and voted for Spiro. Okay, hopefully that's what happened. And we're waiting for the results. Nothing yet. Nothing yet. So, we will tell you about the results as soon as Philip pick them up on the web, okay? But the polls have been closed for approximately 11 minutes. And we definitely want a non-Democrat to lose this election, okay? I'm telling you, it is so important, folks. It is so important. So, Mr. Spiro, hopefully you have it. You win this election for Mobile's sakes. And we still haven't gotten any results. Philip is looking. He's looking.
2% results, and there's 2,000 votes in for Drummond and only like 447 in for Chiragata so far. Yeah.
Right.
So far, it's 2%.
Yeah, 2%. So we will wait, folks. We will wait. And we will talk about it when we get the final tabulation as to who will win this mayoral election. So let's wait. But anyway, we're gonna be talking about what has happened over the past week. And I was so impressed with the memorials that they were having for Charles, okay? And that stadium was filled up. They had an overflow in the stadium. I mean, it was really touching. And then quite a few cities, they had memorials for this guy. And I don't think the Democrats realize the effect that this election is going to have in 2026. I don't think they realize that. And I think that I look forward to the midterms election. You know, we've got the mayor. We've got the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general. We've got a Senate race because Senator Tuberville will be running for governor. We've got the commissioner of agriculture. We've got the, what else? The auditor for the state of Alabama. Okay? So we've got all of those elections coming up. And the primary is May 26th of next year. Now, we have the qualification for that election, and that will be from the 5th of January to the 23rd of January. That is when you will have to have to qualify. Okay? So that's not far away. I don't think so, folks. That's not far away. So the thing is, when we think of who is going to run in each position, you never know until at 5 o'clock on the 23rd, because some folks would just sit there and they would just wait until, an hour before that closing, and before they register to vote, okay? They'll just wait. They'll just wait and they'll just sit there. And so you never know who is going to register. Maybe you have two, three, four people running for one position, but you never know. We're going to go into our first break now, and we will continue after these breaks, folks. If anybody out there have any idea or anything they want to say about the assassination, let us know. Even about the election, anything you want to talk about, please let us know, folks, because this is a very trying time in the United States, and we're going to have to come to grips with that, okay? Then you look at those individuals who refused to go along with the Congress when they had a tribute for him, and we'll talk about that in a little while. So, folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. And we are on the mission. Definitely on the mission. Our number here is 251-343-0106, folks. And I think we have a caller. Let's see who the caller is. Caller, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening to you and your listening audience. This is Dr. Walters speaking.
Dr. Walters, folks, I think you remember Dr. Walters. He's been on the show quite a few times. Thanks for calling. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Charlie Kurtz. You know, it was such a sad occasion because Charlie Kurtz, he had a very unique ability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was willing to go anywhere and engage in a rational political discussion. Mm-hmm. And he could agree to disagree with people. And he was willing to speak to anybody. He was courteous. He was kind. He professed his faith. And it's really sad that what we see is the left trying to drag him through the mud and, you know, try to paint him as being a racist. And it's so far from the truth. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I remember one time where an actual racist, Charlie Kirk, actually confronted a racist.
Okay.
And, you know, I just can't believe that people, they're taking his words out of context and trying to make this guy who was, you know, such a devout Christian, and he was willing to treat people with dignity and respect. And it's just so sad how the left has tried to twist his legacy.
Yeah, it is very, very, very sad. And, you know, just like what you're talking about, I've heard it from numerous, numerous folks about that. And what effect do you think this will have on the 26th midterms election?
Well, I think Charlie Kirk's death has sparked a movement around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Kirk was huge in life. I think he have even become greater, his influence have become even greater in debt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about, you know, we saw an outpour at his memorial where over 90,000 people attended his memorial. You had vigils in cities all around the world, even in foreign countries. Mm-hmm. You had vigils. I mean, so Charlie Kirk's impact have been so significant.
Mm-hmm.
And the things he stood for, I think what we're seeing people are willing to be bold again and profess their faith and stand up against all these left-wing deviant ideologies. And I think what the devil meant for evil, God has turned into good, and it's such a movement. And I think the nail is in the Democrats' coffin for the midterm election. I don't think that they even have a chance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm people who say they never read the Bible have decided to all of a sudden profess their faith and accept Jesus Christ as their savior. And so, you know, what Charlie's current life and legacy is going to be such a movement, and we're going to be talking about Charlie Kirk for generations to come.
Right. And I know, you know, your undergrad was from the University of Alabama. And what do you think about our two Democratic Congress folks refusing to participate in the congressional, tribute to him?
You know, it's really sad that you have people like those that are supposed to be representing the voters of the state of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we all can disagree, but nobody, you know, should be fall victim to violence. And, you know, when you have elected officials who can't even stand up and recognize somebody like Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated and condemned to violence, you know, it's really sickening for these people to try to defend what happened and try to paint the victim of a senseless crime, mm-hmm. the victim of assassination, mm-hmm. and they try to paint him as someone that's being evil. Charlie Kirk never did anything to anyone. He shared his opinion. I mean, we live in a country where freedom of speech is embedded in our Constitution.
Right.
And, you know, what the left has done have been really despicable. I mean, one example I see on left-wing media, they keep playing a clip over and over and over where Charlie Kirk said that if, you know, he saw a black pilot, he would wonder if that black pilot was promoted based on merit, mm-hmm. or because of DEI. Now, they play that clip by itself completely out of context, and they don't tell people or they don't show people that the nature of that conversation was Charlie Kirk was having a discussion about DEI, and the conversation was if 2% of 5% of pilots are black, and you gave a mandate to increase that percentage to 40%, in order to meet that 40% quota, you would have to lower the standard and allow pilots who was not of high standards, the highest standards, to you would have to promote those just to fill the quota. Mm-hmm. And so the argument that the idea that he was expressing that was having mandated quotas based on race aren't good. And he said, if that was the case where you promoted pilots strictly by race, you had to go from 5% to 40%. Then he said, if I saw a pilot, the first thing that would come to my mind is this black pilot qualified or did he get promoted based on his race?
Right.
Which is a completely legitimate argument with merits.
Right.
But they're not showing the entire conversation. They're just playing a little clip of him saying if he saw a black pilot, he would wonder if the black pilot got his job based on merit or because of his race, which is really, really dishonest. And so they're doing everything to try to paint Charlie Kirk as something that he wasn't, because Charlie Kirk was a God-fearing, he was a Christian.
Right.
Matter of fact, I saw a clip of Vance Jones, who Charlie Kirk have been going back and forth on social media the same week that he died over the killing of that Ukrainian and a black man who was charged with it.
On the train, yeah.
Yeah, and Charlie Kirk had actually sent Van Jones a message asking him to come on his show and they can have a discussion on it and they can disagree, but they can do it in a civilized way. And that's the type of person he was.
The thing is this. I've seen that on MSLSD and CNN. You know, they always pick a little part. They try to do that with President Trump also, okay?
Oh, yeah. The good people on both sides was a classic example of what they did.
Right,
they
right.
They the part where he condemned the racist.
That's true. That's true. I tell you, it's going to be, by observing all of these folks who were out on the streets to
memorialize.
Say prayers, memorialize for him, and it's going to have a negative effect on the Democratic Party. That's what I think.
It is. You know, and one of the things that I've seen lately, matter of fact, I just saw a clip of residents in Chicago. And they were calling on the Trump administration to bring the National Guard to Chicago
right. To
help save the city.
Right.
So, you know, and people waking up all around the country, especially in the aftermath of, you know, the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Right, right. In about another minute, we're going to go into a break. So if you want to stick around until after this break, and we'll continue with our conversation. I really appreciate you, Dr. Edison, coming in and talking to our audience because, we just with all of the Democratic fools out there and the hatred that a lot of them in Congress and in the Senate, I'm talking about black folks, and some Hispanic folks, they didn't like this guy. They didn't like him. But I'm telling you, we want the world to know, the U.S. citizens to know, how black folks really felt about Charlie Kirk, okay? And he was not an adversary. He was a friend. And so that's what we're talking about, folks. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. And we are on the mission. We're talking to a good friend of ours, Dr. Edison Waters, and he called in to tell us his thoughts on this assassination of Charlie Kirk and It's a sad situation, but we're hoping that the American folks realize that this should not have happened, and we've got to try and keep it from happening in the future. Our number here is 251-343-0106. Now, we've got some results. I think Philip said they have 50%.
It's now 62%.
52.
Barbara Drummond has 13,645 votes. Spiro Chiriagatis has 12,264 votes. So she's got 52.7%.
Okay.
He's got 47.3%.
All right. Still early. All right. Dr. Edison.
Yes.
Did you hear that about the mayoral race?
Yes.
So I think he'll come back. At least I'm hoping.
Yeah. Real hopeful.
Right. It's 2,000 votes, but that's not really that much, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of depends on where exactly those
votes. Right. Yeah. That is true. That is true. We are waiting. Hopefully, by the time the show is over, we'll have the final results, you know. And there are several towns and cities in Alabama that are having runoffs tonight, okay? But this, to us, is the most important one down here in Mobile, for sure.
Generally, runoff elections are about getting your voters back out.
Right.
And so, hopefully, you know, the GOP have done a good job energizing their voters and getting their votes back out.
Right. Well, you know, she, Maxine Waters came down here, and former Senator Doug Jones and Warnock, from the senator from Georgia. She had a lot of outside folks endorsing her, you know, and not the cities, the residents of the city of Mobile.
Yeah, seemed like she was trying to do a GOP get out.
Right.
Bringing in those lefty loonies.
And I agree with you. What else is on your mind, Doctor, about what's happening these days?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I really admired about Charlie Kirk is that at a time when college, the left had taken over college campuses,
mm-hmm.
and all the professors on the far left teaching this left-wing ideology, Charlie Kirk decided to go right into the fire and challenge college students to start thinking critically and consider the things that they were hearing from their professors.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the real impressive things about him. I mean, he delivered the youth vote for the GOP, because traditionally the youth vote had gone to the Democratic Party.
Right.
But he delivered the youth vote for the GOP, and President Trump would not be president today had it not been for the work that Charlie Kirk did.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, and I just want people to understand how huge an impact Charlie Kirk, the work that he did, was for our country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've actually heard some of these lefty loonies trying to compare Charlie Kirk to George Floyd.
That is funny.
It's such an insane comparison.
Right.
I've heard, George Floyd didn't lay in state at the Capitol. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was a criminal, drug addict, and you're trying to compare him to someone that was so inspirational to so many young people around the country and was able to challenge these young people and force them to start thinking more critically, and not just accept radical left-wing ideology.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Charlie Kirk is going to be mentioned in the same breath of people like Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to be remembered in the history of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And in a similar way as we talk about Dr. King.
Right.
Because he just that huge an impact on the country. Not just the country, but literally he had an impact around the world. I mean, you saw vigils all around the world, people coming together to mourn the death of Charlie Kirk.
That's true.
And who would have ever imagined that the impact of this 31-year-old would be so huge on the entire world.
True. In such a short period of time, too.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, further impact is I've heard and I've read that several chapters are being established, you know, in his name, Turning Point, you know, several Turning Point chapters are going to be established. So his influence is unbelievable.
Yes, and you know, we need to celebrate the life of Charlie Kirk because he gave so much to this country, and he paid the ultimate price.
True. And you know, when you look at the folks that are out there honoring him, even at the stadium, it's a mixture of folks, blacks, whites, Hispanics, you know. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, one of the things that's so promising is because we're seeing so many young people are willing to step out and declare Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and turn away from the demonization of the left and, you know, and start. I think we're on the verge of taking our entire country back. What's happened here with Charlie Kirk is a movement.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, the Turning Point chapters are back on the move now, you know. They've had the ceremony and the tributes to Charlie, so now they are really organizing.
Yeah. And I think we're going to see more and more young people gravitate to with the GOP and, you know, just abandon this left-wing ideology.
Right. All right, Doc, anything else for us? We appreciate you calling in. And anything else that you have for our audience?
Well, you know, I'm actually working on a new research project.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that, you know, there's been a lot of debate about lowering interest rates in order to get the housing market. But I'm working on a publication right now that is literally documenting the spike in home prices over the last few years. Every time we lower the interest rate, home prices skyrocketed even more, pricing even more Americans out of the housing market. And I think what this research, new research project I'm working on, is going to highlight the need to address some other issues, because lowering interest rates is just going to continue to price more and more Americans out of the housing market. And, you know, housing, you know, being a homeowner is the underpinning of the American dream. And so we need to get some policies in place. We need to wake the policymakers up. And so they need to address the challenges that we're facing in the housing market. So I'm looking forward to publishing that paper and my insight into what we need to do to get housing market on a stronger footing.
All right. That sounds good. And I'm sure we'll cover it on this station, you know. When you get that publication, public and published, and we'll have you back on.
All right. Well, thank you, man, and thank you for taking my call. It's always a pleasure talking to you and your listening audience.
All right. Thank you, Doc. Thank you.
All right.
Dr. Edison Waters, folks, and let me tell you something. He knows what he's talking about. He's one of the foremost experts on world world finances, and I'm telling you, he is he's very knowledgeable. Yeah, folks, we're still waiting to get the results. And what are they now, Philip?
At 82%, just to flip this past minute, at 82%, it's still Barbara Drummond, 17,950 votes over Spiro Chiriagatis' 15,643 votes.
So okay.
53.4 versus 46.6%.
Okay.
Right. 82% of reported
right.
in.
83%, folks. Well, let's see what we have. I'm glad I don't live in Mobile. I can tell you that. I'm glad I don't live in Mobile. Wow. Well, all right. We're still looking at the results, and let's hope, okay, that her districts have not been counted. yeah. So we're still waiting, folks. We're still waiting. All right, what else is happening in the world today? I wonder about other runoffs. How they? Have you heard anything about them, Philip? In other cities?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hang on. It's up here. Let's see.
Okay.
Well, right now it's just Barbara Drummond and Chiriagatis. Yeah, they were showing other races. Wait, hang on. Let me see. There's
right,
more races
right.
here. Pritchard Mayor is...
Yeah, Pritchard. What's happening in Pritchard?
So far, nobody's reporting in Pritchard.
Nobody?
Nobody yet. It's a 0% reporting.
That's what happened last time, remember?
Yeah, and a Chickasaw Mayor is 0% reporting so far.
Okay. Wow. Why is Pritchard so late?
Saraland, it's a Chris Jesse. Is that it? And Veronica Hudson, he's at the Saraland City Council, place 5. Now there's Daphne Council City, place 5.
Okay.
And that's 100% reporting. So Stephanie Ganey Messenger.
Yeah, yeah.
And Steve MacArthur, she won.
Right.
Anyway, let me get back to the Mobile Mayor and see what's up. Okay. She's
all right. All right. Now.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. We are on the air, and we are on a mission, folks. And I think because of the screwed up world that we live in, mainly which is being... being done by the Democrats in America. I can't understand it. But we have to fight them, folks. We have to fight them. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. We're going to fight them at the polls. At the polls. And that's what I mean by fighting them. We Republicans have to have guts to deal with those Democrats because they lie, they cheat, and they don't tell the truth. And they don't like what is going on in the world today. So this is what we're doing. I think we have a caller on the line, Philip. All right.
Yes, sir.
Caller, welcome
hey.
To the show. How you doing?
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, sir. How are you this evening?
Good. What's your first name?
My first name's Anthony.
Anthony. Okay, Anthony. What do you have for us?
Well, several things. First off, I want to thank you for just your platform, for helping to give us a voice,
okay.
being Republicans in a world where Democrats are trying to silence our voice as represented with the senseless murder of
mm-hmm.
Mr. Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats like to talk about First Amendment rights and freedoms of speech, but when it comes from our side, then they try to silence us by any and all means necessary. So, again, thank you so much for you continuing to be the voice of the party, the voice of the people, giving us a platform to express our political views. And that tribute, you dedicating the majority of your show tonight to him, I really appreciate as well, because, like I said, that's a story that definitely needs to be told. He was a young man. He was a great man. And the thing that I loved most about him was that he never ran from a challenge or a debate.
Correct.
He would come to you. He would invite you in. And we need a lot more of that. And he's definitely a martyr for us. And hopefully that will spark something in those of us who want to remain silent and just kind of watch things. Maybe they'll get more active in understanding that this is actually a fight for our lives.
Right, right. Let me ask you a question. It's just amazing to me how the Democrats, especially the black Democrats, are talking about how he was a racist, okay? Are you black, white? What ethnicity are you?
Oh, I'm black.
Oh, okay.
And
all right.
What I've found being a black southerner in politics myself, I consider myself in politics, being an active voter, an active listener, and things of that nature, is that whenever minorities, and I don't think this is just for blacks, I think I've noticed that a lot of minorities, whenever something doesn't go their way or suit them, or they feel like they're losing any type of battle, they like to throw the race card out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you throw the race card out, everything stops. It's shock value. And they want to, again, move the goalposts. Well, let's try and attack this person's character. Let's, defame them, and then let's talk about that to keep your eyes off of the issues. And I think Democrats throughout history have been masterful at three-card Monty. It's a street game where they follow the queen, and they try to get you to bet on something, but it's just they confuse you with what's going on to draw your attention away from what's important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a microcosm of what that party has done, is doing, and will continue to do. Now, I will say that a lot of these Democrats being able to do that and get this power that they have, kind of like, and just branching off subject really quick and to come out, I thought it was, as a resident of Alabama, I personally was humiliated that our representatives did not show up to the Charlie Kirk Memorial.
Right.
And then I had to think about it for a second. That's our fault as Republicans, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did not stand together, and because of that, that allowed them to get into office and then allowed them to show that type of disrespect to that great man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a lot of great candidates that were up, but we didn't get behind one really, really strong candidate and really, really push that candidate. And I understand everyone, you have different people want to run, different people their own platform for which they run on and things like that. But this is something I wanted to ask you, Mr. Williams, because in my time in D.C., what I noticed a lot with our Republicans, I lived in Prince George's County, which is just north of D.C., borders D.C., in fact. And as Republicans, what we did was we got together, and even if there were 6, 7, 8 candidates, we got together and we formed a coalition and said, okay, we're all going to decide on what candidate has the best chance of not only winning, but has the best chance to push the agendas and the things that we need to get done within the party or within everything that they're doing.
Right.
And then we would all get behind that candidate. We would push the candidate, get a nice war chest for him So, mm-hmm. you know, they could run effectively. And down here in Alabama, I noticed that they don't do that. And I just wanted to ask you, is there anything that can be done about that? You know, maybe consolidating the vote to give us a better chance? Because, again, like District 2 was that should have been a layup for us. House of Representative race, that should have been a layup.
Right.
And I think we bifurcated the vote. In that, and we kind of sunk our own ship right. in that manner. So, what are your thoughts in regards to that, and what we can possibly do going forward to fix it?
Well, my thoughts are: I think it's a great idea that we start doing that as a party because we have not done that. I know in 2008, the party, and I was the senior vice chairman of the party at that time, and then. We had agreed that we would not get involved in primaries with more than one individual, okay? But I think that has to change because it is detrimental to minority. We have one minority in the Alabama House and none in the Senate. And the Democrats have a lot. In the Senate and in the House, so I think in District 2, and also up in District 7, where we have two Democrats in office because they are zeros. Okay, they're the ones who refuse to go along with Congress to honor Charlie Kirk, and
right.
they also voted against keeping boys and men out of women's sport. Okay.
Right.
I mean, that's ludicrous.
That's criminal.
It is criminal. So I think in certain areas of Alabama, we have to start doing that. So I was thinking about that, and I think it's a good idea. So we'll be talking about it to our Republican colleagues and see what we come up with.
Well, I definitely appreciate that. And I, as you said, I really think that'll go a long way towards getting the people that we need in the proper places to push the proper legislation that we need. Something else I wanted to speak very briefly on this, Mr. Williams.
Okay, go ahead.
As a real estate developer, I've noticed a very high spike in an upward trend of people coming from blue states and buying up a lot of land here in Alabama, and those people are going to become registered voters.
Right.
And they're moving here in droves. In fact, from what I've, the research I've done, we have the third largest influx of people growth as far as population in the country in the last 3 years. And
we only have about a half a minute.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, and I agree with you, and I was watching the Fox News tonight, and they're talking about the beef and the land that foreigners are buying in America, okay, and buying up. And we have to stop that. We cannot allow that. So I agree with you, and that's going to be another topic, okay? So call back again in a future show, and we'll talk about that.
I definitely will. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. That's about it tonight. And I think our two callers really enjoyed that. I think it's important for you to hear what's going on. All right, folks. Vaya con Dios. Until next week.